We just open our hearts to receive all that you have. We ask you to open the eyes of our understanding that we might gain all that you have for us. Bring forth your word, Lord. Let it be your words and not merely the words of men. Let us decrease, Lord Jesus, that you might increase. And send your word forth to accomplish its purpose in the lives of your people. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Cling to the cross. Amen. Cling to the cross.
Amen.
Cling to the cross.
Amen.
Holy smack. Did the zombies come out? There ain't no zombies in this church. Uh-oh. Okay, there's one. You missed him. He came in like this. Everybody knows zombies don't do this. They do it. Psalm 63, 7 and 8. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings.
Amen.
My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me.
Amen. That's a good scripture. You should highlight that in your Bible.
You should highlight that. Write it down.
You should write it on your
tattoo forehead. It on the inside of your eyelids.
My soul clings to you.
If you're going to write it on your forehead, write it backwards so when you look in the mirror, you can see it. Here's the Amplified. This is the Amplified Bible. By the way, if you're not familiar with the Amplified Bible, it is a specific translation which brings forth extra meaning to the words, not adding meaning, but expounding the meanings. The Amplified for this says, "For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings will I rejoice. My whole being follows hard after you and clings closely to you."
Amen.
"Your right hand upholds me."
Amen. Cling to the cross.
Cling. Follows hard after you. You ever followed hard after something? Usually comes with a paycheck or something you wanted. A new snowboard, a new car, a pretty woman, yes. Nate's like, uh-huh. Yeah. See, that's how we're supposed to be all the time, is that follow hard after, pursue, cling to.
I like it that it says my whole being, not just part of my being, not just my thoughts, not just my desires, not just what I'm looking for from God, but my whole being follows after you. My soul clings to you. Here's what cling means. And I want you to think about this in terms of you clinging to the cross. To adhere closely, to stick to hold tight, as by grasping or embracing, to cleave, to be or remain close, to remain attached, as to an idea, hope, or memory. Some of you have been to my house and met Buster. Buster, I bought him for Jerry, but Buster likes to cleave to me. He also likes cleaving to Debbie when she comes to my house. He will walk in the house and he will see her. And he will walk over to the couch and he will sit on her lap. And he'll just sit there until she makes him, which is what Buster does to me. He follows me around like this. Wherever I am, Buster is doing this. And when I sit down, he sits not beside me, but he lays right on my feet. He likes to cling to me.
Yeah, when I tell him that, Buster, lay down. And she's right there, like, oh.
He likes to stay closely. Before we were at the Washington trip, we were at the Oregon coast, and we were doing a conference in Portland, then went up to Washington. And as I was walking on the beach, I found this.
Careful.
When I found it, it was a single stick. When I brought it home, I asked Jerry to make it into a cross for me, because it reminded me of exactly this message, which is cling to the cross. Look at all the seashells on there. Isn't that neat? And you look at the seashells and you think about what kind of pressure, what kind of force, what kind of atmosphere was at play in order for these shells to cling to that piece of wood. Instead of the force and instead of the pressure causing the shells to be ripped away, all they did was adhere that much closer. And I think about the waves and how they just cling to this stick. That's how we're supposed to cling to the cross. No matter what the waves are like, no matter what the storm is like, no matter what the pressures are like, it's not supposed to rip us away from the cross. It's supposed to cause us to adhere more closely to the cross.
I mean, anybody ever tried to scrape barnacles off of the hull of a ship? That is a lot of work. That's what we should be like. We should be like barnacles on the cross of Christ. I mean, you can't peel them off. You cannot peel them off. We should stick, that word cling, adhere, stick to. Hold tight by grasping. To remain attached. Too many Christians are come and go. Ooh, here's the cross. I need it today. Oh, things are going pretty good. I'm not so good. Wait. Things are bad. Wait. Okay, they're pretty good. And this is the way, look, this is what the children of Israel did for generations. When they had desperate need of God, they would call out upon him. And then when things got good, they would be like, look at what we have accomplished. Look how awesome we are. Look how learned we are. Now, in all three Gospels, we read the words of Jesus saying to one of his, we must take up our cross and follow after him, which is to pursue. We must pursue him. In Matthew 16:24, he tells his disciples, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, a couple of key things. He says this to his disciples. Second, he says, if anyone would come after me, if you're going to pursue me, you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. Then in Mark 8:34, then he called to the crowd to him, along with his disciples. So he's got his disciples and the crowd, and he said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So now it's a little broader of a statement. He called to the crowd. And then in the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 23. Then he said to who?
Them all.
If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross. When?
Daily.
And follow me.
So who's exempt from taking up their cross daily? No one. Everyone's called.
It wasn't like he just said to my disciples, take up your cross daily. To the rest of you guys, maybe once a month, maybe every other week, whatever you feel like. He said, take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, I want to point something out to you. Is that a capital letter? Whose cross is it then? See, so many people go, wait, I have to pick up the cross of Jesus. Got it taken care of. He already took care of the cross. He said he must deny himself and take up his, little h, cross. Take up his cross daily and follow me. Take up your cross while clinging to him. And his cross. Does that make sense? See, he didn't say, cling to your cross. He said, take it up. But it says to cling to him and his cross. So we are clinging to him But taking up ours. Taking up something is different than clinging. Would you agree? Mm-hmm. To take up something is different than to cling on to. Now look, you walk through the house and there's something on the middle of the floor, you might take it up. If you're in the ocean and your ship has just sunk and there's a life vest, I bet you cling on to that life vest, right?
When Jesus was on the road to Golgotha, he took up that cross and he carried it. Daily we are called to take up our cross while clinging to his. The only way you're going to be able to bear up under the weight of the cross that you're called to take up every day is by clinging to his. Clinging to his gives you the power to bear up under the weight of yours every day. When you think about your cross, I'm going to ask you this. What is your cross? What is a cross that you personally, Matt, Brian, Kimmy, Judy, Joe, Ron, Ruth, what is the cross that you are called to pick up every day? The cross is what Jesus was willing to die for. The cross represents death. It was his death in exchange for our life. So what is your cross? What is it you're supposed to die for in exchange for life for somebody else? What is the cross you're supposed to be picking up?
And what does your cross represent? What does your cross represent? See, look, this is not one of those, oh, that's a lovely theological point.
No.
This is you. This is for you to take into you. What does your cross represent? The cross that you're taking up daily, what death does it represent? Because the cross represents death. What death does it? First of all, he tells you, deny yourself. Mm-hmm. Death of self. First thing that goes on the cross. You've heard me say it before. You cannot crucify yourself. You might get your hand, you might get your feet, but then you always got this one that's loose. Trying to get the other ones off. You need somebody else. And I have to say, it's never like, okay, Lord, send my friend to come. Because it is never your friend who crucifies you. It is the one who you're like, oh, no, no, no. No, 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 anybody else. No, 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 not my brother. Oh, not my father, not my mother. Oh, isn't that right? See, what is it that you're choosing to die for every day so a greater life can be achieved? What is your cross? What's the meaning of your cross? What does it represent that you're going to pick up every day, crucify, so that something greater can live? Because Jesus didn't just come to jump up on the cross and go, okay, got that done. He came so that greater life could come forth. He surrendered his life so that greater life could come out. Because it says, unless a seed fall to the ground and die, there cannot be a harvest produced. So he was the seed. What is the seed that you're seeking to reproduce? Do you know? Are you thoughtfully even doing this? Or is it just like, I don't know, whatever today. Here we go. Going to the cross today. I don't know what I'm doing. Just going down there because they want to pick on me. Some people, I mean, seriously, some Christians pick up their cross every day, have no idea why they're going down. I'm just dragging my old silly cross down here again. And whiny, complainy, frustrated, irritated. Don't even know why. I mean, I'm a Christian. I got to carry my cross. Yep, here I am. I mean, we have heard this as long as we've been Christians. It's like people who go, yeah, I had to go to church today. Really? Yeah, got up this morning, read my Bible at 6:30. Had to? Really? Yeah, pastor said we had to read our Bible. Don't ever hear me say that. You don't have to. You don't have to. You get to, but you don't have to. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you don't, you're going to be less happy. If you do, you're going to be more happy. I'm just going to tell you, it's the truth. when you desire to, if you have to, it'll be like going back to high school. Oh, stupid schoolwork. Instead of a desire. See, people carry their cross and they feel the burden and the weight of it. And it crushes them. And they don't even know why they're doing it. Why are you doing what you're doing? I don't know. Somebody told me I had to. So this is my cross to bear. I cannot tell you how many Christians have said that. Yes, my spouse, my cross to bear. I'm telling you. Really? That's the best you got? That's the best you got? So what's the reason? Why are they your cross to bear?
Again, it says, daily take up your cross. Some people know what their cross is, that they're supposed to take up every day. And they feel the weight. Whenever you take up a cross, you're going to feel the weight of it. You're going to feel the burden of it. Has anybody taken up their cross and never felt the weight or the burden of it? Because if you have, I would really question whether you really took it up or whether you just kind of walked by it and looked at it. There's a weight, there's a burden to the cross, and when you take it up, you're going to feel it. But sometimes people don't understand what it is. Sometimes people are carrying around somebody else's cross because somebody flung their cross at them and said, hey, you carry this. This is my cross, so it's got to be your cross too. And you're carrying around something that isn't even your cross, it's somebody else's. Or sometimes people genuinely know what the cross is they're supposed to be carrying around every day, but instead of carrying it like Christ did, with purpose and with honor and with joy, even in the midst of suffering, they carry it around with resentment and with bitterness and with sorrow. Well, I know I've got to, you know, carry the cross of my husband or my wife or my marriage or my kids or whatever this passion is that I feel or this weight that I feel from Christ. But they carry it with bitterness and they carry it with resentment. And it's, again, it's what I have to do, not really that I find honor and joy in doing it. We all have, every one of us, no one is exempt. He said all. We all have a cross that we are to take up every day and bear as we follow after him. Now, one of the keys in it is he said, follow me. Sometimes we take up our cross and we don't cling to him and follow after him. We kind of go our own way with it. And then we wonder why the weight of it crushes us. Because we're trying to now take up something in the spirit and walk it out in the power of the flesh. And you'll never be able to do it. That which is of the spirit can only ever be fulfilled in the power of the spirit. And sometimes people seek to cling to their cross instead of taking up your cross. If you're clinging to your cross, you can't be clinging to his at the same time. And this is where people get mixed up sometimes too. They don't take up their cross and cling to his for the power to bear this. I turn away from clinging to his and I cling to mine. And then in that place, I still don't have the power to do what I'm supposed to be doing. The only way you're going to daily be able to take up your cross and follow after him with honor and purpose and joy is in the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's as you cling to his cross.
I mean, have you ever found yourself clinging to something that you knew was a God idea? Your family, your job, your home, your, I don't know, something. And you find yourself clinging to it, hanging on to it, nearly choking it out. And you're like, but I know God told me. Yeah, but why are you clinging to it instead of to him? He said, take it up. Put it on your back and carry it with him as he empowers us. But we get settled in and like, no, no, no. I know where I've got to go. I'm going to Golgotha. I need to take my cross all the way down that road and get it up to Golgotha. No. You don't know that. Jesus will tell you where to carry your cross because he said, follow me, come after me. As you come after me, then you will discover that. See, because God's word tells us about things that want to cling to us. Do you know that sometimes your cross grabs onto you? It's got nails and hooks and things in it, and it grabs onto you. Things that people cling to rather than the cross will also cling on to you They'll grab onto you. We're going to give you some of those things that sometimes we grab onto that keep us from clinging to Him. First of all, worthless idols. Worthless idols. Now, most Americans are like, I don't have no Buddhas in my house. I don't have no dragon gods in my house. I don't bow down and worship no statues of Mary. I have the ESPN God. I have the 69-inch super deluxe, extra perfect ultrasound idol. I have the automobile idol. I have, you name it. Food.
Oh, your telephone. Boy, there's one in today's age, Byron.
Smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, children, family. Look, anything can become an idol. Anything become an idol. Because idols are things that we put our trust in over God. It can be your family. But God would want me to take care of them. Yes. Are you taking them to Him? Or are you just taking care of them and telling Him, I'll get this? Because that's where we end up empty. Here's what idols are. Things that people worship or serve or place more governing influence in your life than Christ. That can be, look, for a while we were married, after we got saved, I was an idol to Beth. Now that's, and that, as whacked as that sounds, but aren't you supposed to love your husband? Yes, but I'm not Christ. And what happened is, she put all her faith and all her governing influence in me, and everything in me, and I'm like, I am a flawed human being, and I cannot bear the weight of being God to you, because that job is very difficult for 7 billion people. But just for one, it was overwhelming. And I came to her and I said, I am not your God. Please. Because I'm carrying my cross daily and her cross. And I'm trying to get us to Jesus. And I am not capable. Because He said He must deny Himself and take up His cross. You're not supposed to be taking up anybody else's cross. And sometimes we do that. Oh, let me just help you. Let me just help you. See, that is not the way that it's supposed to be. In Job 8:13 through 15. Such is the destiny of all who forget God. So perishes the hope of the godless. What he trusts in is fragile. What he relies on is a spider's web. He leans on his web, but it gives way. He clings to it, but it does not hold.
Mm-hmm.
Youth, you'll get the spider's web again. Look, it's fragile. What he trusts in is fragile. When Bethy was trusting in me, that is a fragile reliance. I could trust in God, because He is never going to leave me or forsake me or let me down. Everyone else who is not God, absolutely. When I lead people to the Lord, I tell them, I will be there for you 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, whenever you need me, but I want you to know right now, I'm going to fail you. Just want you to know, right before, you're going to call me and I'm not going to be available. You're going to stop by my house and I won't be there. You're going to need me for something, and I will fail you. Please, I want to set you up properly. I am not God. If I am not here, God is always here.
In the book of Jonah 2:8, the Word of God says, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. The Word tells us that His grace is sufficient for all things. And so often what happens is we cling to worthless idols instead of to the cross, And we forfeit the grace that is sufficient for that thing. There's a grace that we need for that thing, and instead of clinging to the cross and to that grace that's going to be sufficient, we cling to that worthless idol instead, that spider web that ends up falling away instead of clinging to the cross that will never fall away from your life. The next thing that Scripture says sometimes we get caught clinging to or seeks to cling to us so that we don't cling to the cross is deceit. In Jeremiah 8, 4, and 5, this is what the Lord says, "When men fall down, do they not get up? When a man turns away, does he not return? Why then have these people turned away? Why does Jerusalem always turn away? They cling to deceit. They refuse to return." Pride always seeks to get people to cling to deceit rather than humbling themselves and returning to the cross. Pride is one of those things that always gets us to go, "I'm pretty sure this isn't right. This doesn't feel right. Fruit of it's telling me it's not right." But instead of turning and getting on your knees and humbly going back to the cross, we continue in the way of deceit. And so don't let deceit cling to you, because it will always keep you from the cross that you're supposed to be clinging to.
See, when you first got saved, when you first give your heart to the Lord, you go, "I don't know anything. I'm coming to the cross a baby. I don't know anything." But after you've been saved a little while, you come back to the cross like this: "I have an education. I know some spiritual things. And I'm going to come back down here and tell you how it is, Jesus." And then we wonder why, when he says something simple like he did to Liz, can I tell you, after you've been saved for a little while and you've got your theology all in line, what people want from God is some long dissertation, some soliloquy, like it came out of Hamlet. "I am the Lord thy God, and I have said unto thee, my child." And you're like, "Oh, yes, yes, Lord, yes." And really, what he says is, "Be obedient." And you're like, "Where is the rest?" He says, "When you fulfill that, I'll give you more." "Be obedient." "But I want something good to do." "Oh, that is." See, we've got to comprehend. Next is evil.
Diseases.
Evil diseases. Deuteronomy 28, 58 and 60. "If you do not carefully," by the way, if you go back and read 28 from the beginning, it's like all these blessings will come upon you, and the bread in your kneading bowl will be blessed, and the children of your womb, and the fruit of your fields, and oh my gosh, it's so good. Nobody ever gets to this part. They're like, "Oh, that's, ooh, that's." Wait. I want to go back to the blessing, because here's what it says. "If you do not carefully follow all the words of this law, which are written in this book, and do not revere this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, the Lord will send fearful plagues on you and your descendants, harsh and prolonged disasters, and severe and lingering illnesses." Wait a minute, hold on. Where'd that blessing part go? "I want the fruit of my vine to be blessed, and I want my children to be blessed. He will bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt that you dreaded, and they will," what? "Cling to you." You see, why? When Jesus came, he came to heal us of all of our diseases, right? Where do you get that healing? At the cross, when you cling to the cross. Not because I know about the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I know about healing. Mm-hmm. I know about healing. See, here's one of the things about those diseases. Here's one of those things about healing that people miss. The story of the man whose son is possessed, who has epileptic seizures. It says the spirit comes upon him and the spirit casts him into the fire and he has been burned. And Jesus says, "Do you believe?" And he says, "Yes, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." What did he say? He said, you better cling. You gotta give me something to cling to, Jesus. Jesus cast the spirit out, and the boy was healthy and in his right mind. Now the father went, ah, I know who I need to cling to now. I need to cling to this Savior who is Christ. Some choose to cling to the diseases. We just read this in youth last night, which is the man who was possessed, the demon-possessed man in the Gadarenes, called the Gadarene demoniac. It says he had many demons, a legion. 3,000 to 6,000 demons filled this man. They put chains on him and guards, and they couldn't hold him. Now, when Jesus cast him out, he became, and he was naked running around, cutting himself in the tombs. Not a pretty sight. Jesus healed him, clothed him, put him in his right mind, and he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, it says the people of that region asked Jesus to leave. You killed 2,000 of our pigs. That crazy man over there looks normal as all get out, and we are whacked out. We don't know what's going on, but if you would just leave, we could go back to the way things were.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you what, some people don't want to be healed because being healed means I have to give up what? My disability? Well, I have to go to work? You know what, the man by the gate beautiful? When they picked him up, he had to go get a job. Because nobody's going to give him alms while he's standing there going, hey, look at me dancing now. Can I have a little alms? I don't really want to work. I told you I might dance.
You look like you're doing good.
My back hurt this morning. I said, I don't think I'm going to dance. But I might.
Another thing that seeks to cling to us is the deeds of faithless men. The deeds of faithless men, Psalm 101:3. I will set before my eyes no vile thing, the deeds of faithless men. I hate, they will not cling to me. Sometimes we allow the transgressions of others to stick to us like laundry that rolls around in a dryer without a dryer sheet. You ever seen laundry with no dryer sheet and you put it on and it just sticks to you everywhere? It's the
you ever seen that guy walking through the office and he's got a pair of underwear stuck on the back of his jacket? You gotta like that.
That's kind of what it's like, you know? And we're all just kind of tumbling around in this life together. And the greatest dryer sheet that keeps the deeds, faithless deeds of others from sticking to us is the Holy Spirit.
Have you ever heard the Holy Spirit described as a dryer sheet before?
No.
Not yet.
Nope. But isn't that what he does? Because without him, the faithless deeds, the transgressions of others stick to us. They cling to us. They weigh us down. They hinder us. They hurt us. They disappoint us. They create despair, disappointment, burdens, all of these weights upon us. The Holy Spirit is the one that makes it so that the faithlessness of others does not cling to us. Again, he is the Holy Spirit dryer sheet. You need to have him in your life so those things do not cling to you, so that you can cling to the cross and all of that. Remember the Lord's Prayer? How's the Lord's Prayer go? Which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's gone. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As you do that,
sorry,
the transgressions...
Took me back to my old Catholic days there for just a second.
Isn't...
I did. I saw her
and
in a black and white suit there for a second.
I love that prayer, but it automatically does that to him. It automatically makes him think religion, which is too bad because Jesus said, this is how we should pray.
It just made me put my hands in my pockets.
So don't let the deeds of faithless men cling to you. Last one.
The dust of the ground. The dust of the ground. Psalm 44:25. We are brought down to the dust. Our bodies cling to the ground. Look, out of the dust we were created, and out of the dust we shall return when we are done. Not before. Despair, depression, discouragement, and defeat take a hold of us, and the next thing you know, we're like, I just want to die. Am I right? And we're all covered in dust, and we're all covered in the filth, and it clings. I mean, isn't that what happens? Our bodies cling to the ground because we're all covered in that stuff. Because it has attached itself to us. But when we cling to the cross, you know what doesn't come? There's no depression. There's no despair. There's no discouragement. None of the dust of the earth meets the cross. See, it's all been washed away. It lifts us up beyond the place of death. See, we were created from the dust of the earth, and to the dust of the earth we shall return. In between, we're not supposed to be. You know who crawls on the earth in the dust? Satan. Jesus, God himself said this, you shall crawl around on the dust of the earth. That's it. That's your life. That's not supposed to be us.
That's right.
If you find yourself crawling around on the ground in the dust, you're in serving the wrong camp. Because Jesus didn't tell us to lay on the ground and cover yourself with dust and crawl on your belly like a snake. Now, the evil one says that. Why? Because then that stuff gets on you and it clings to you.
And although our flesh is going back to the dust, our spirit is not. Our spirit is intended for higher places than the dust of the earth. And that's why the dust of the earth is not supposed to cling to us. Joshua, where was the first place he went when defeat hit him? Flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord, what? He's clinging to the dust of the ground. And the angel of the Lord comes up and says, what are you doing on your face? Get up. And that's what the devil does. He, out of disappointment, despair, defeat, discouragement, he goes, get on your face. Cling to the dust. You cling to the cross. You were not created to cling to the dust. You were created for a life far out of the dust of the earth from which you began.
John chapter 15, verse 4 through 11. Remain in me and I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now, I believe New King James and King James says abide about 12 times there.
Mm-hmm.
Abide. See, he says here, remain. Uh-huh. Abide. Here's what abide means. I'm living here. I am staying here. This is my home. I abide. It is called, your home is called your abode, where I abide. This is my home. You may come in, but this is mine. Right? See, this is what he's talking about. You have come into me, and I have come into you. We've made Jesus now our roommate. And we abide with him constantly.
And what he's saying in this, he says, as you take up your cross daily and pursue after me, cling to me, cling to my word, cling to my love. And if you cling to my word and you cling to me, you cling to my love, then my joy will abide in you. Your joy will be complete as you take up your cross and pursue after me. When you find people that are bearing up their cross with bitterness and resentment, they're not clinging to the word, they're not clinging to love, they're not clinging to him. They're clinging to something else, and that's why they don't have any joy in what they're doing. But this is what he says right here. Cling to me, cling to my word, cling to my love. Your joy will be complete as you carry your cross and follow after me.
Psalm 119, verse 31, in the New King James. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Do not put me to shame. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Do not put me to shame. As you cling to the cross, you become his testimony. As you hold on when the world is buffeting you, when you're like one of those barnacles and you are attached to that cross and the waves of this world and the storms of this world come and you are attached to that, you become a testimony to him. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 13, verse 11. New King James says, for as the sash clings to the waist of a man, so I have caused the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah to cling to me, says the Lord, that they may become my people for renown, for praise, and for glory. Whose renown? Whose praise? Whose glory? His. See, look, he said, you cling up, look, I'm going to put you around me like a sash. Do they still do sashes? They're like belts now, huh? Yeah, whatever. Scarves. A sash. It's when you got one of those long, flowing, Middle Eastern robes, a sash is a good thing to hold it together. It says, as the sash clings to the waist of a man, as that holds on to you, that's what I'm doing, he says. So I've caused you to cling to me.
Look around the room and how many people do you see that you know right now have clung through, or are clinging currently to the cross through tremendous adversity, and by doing so have become the Lord's testimony. I could start calling you out by name, every one of you right now. But it only happens as you cling to the cross, because you will not be able to bear the weight of your cross unless you cling to the cross. Amen?
Lord Jesus, Father, help us to avoid, Lord God, the pitfalls, the evil diseases, Lord God, the worthless idols, deceit, Father God, pride. Almighty God, help us to cling to the cross. Help us to take our cross up daily, where we, Lord, can be a sacrifice. But Lord, let us cling to you, who is our sacrifice, where you have paid the price for all of our sins, where you bought healing and health. Lord God, we cling to those things. And as we cling to you, we become testimonies of the living God. As people see signs and miracles and wonders, as people see enduring love, Almighty God, they see you. Let us, Lord Jesus, be your disciples. And let us cling to the cross as we follow you. In everything that we do, in your name.